This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
So whether you are a business leader who's just staring down next quarter's revenue targets, mm-hmm. or maybe a marketing director trying to, you know, justify an increasingly tight budget.
Or even just an insanely curious learner, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just someone who tracks how technology fundamentally alters our behavior. If you fall into any of those camps, you have undoubtedly felt this massive shift in how we search for information online in 2026.
Oh, absolutely. It's undeniable at this point.
Right. I mean, the old playbook is just broken. You type a query into a search bar, and instead of getting that that familiar list of 10 blue links to browse through,
which we all grew up on,
right? You know, an AI engine is basically having a complete native conversation with you right there on the results page.
Yeah, it's a total architectural redesign of how humans access knowledge. We're moving from this era of like information retrieval to information synthesis.
Synthesis, yeah.
The search engine isn't playing the role of a helpful librarian pointing you toward a book anymore. It's literally reading the book for you, summarizing the best chapters, and just presenting the findings before you ever even leave its interface.
And that new reality is, frankly, leaving a whole lot of traditional businesses completely stranded.
Stranded and panicking.
Exactly. They're watching their web traffic plummet and just wondering where all their leads went.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our core mission for today's deep dive.
Yeah, we have a really great source for this one.
We do. We are unpacking this phenomenal source document from Double Dome Digital Marketing. It's an article called Triple Goal Content Strategy, Rank, Convert, AI. And it's written by Janice Ramos, who is an SEO specialist over there.
Yes, and I loved her bio, by the way.
Oh my gosh, right. Just as a fun quick aside, her bio mentions that when she isn't deep in the technical trenches optimizing enterprise websites, she is apparently an avid tender of houseplants and pet fish.
And she loves visiting local beaches. I mean, I always appreciate those little details. It really grounds the conversation, you know?
Totally does.
It just reminds us that behind all this intense algorithmic engineering, there are real people just trying to make the internet a more useful place.
Right. But, I mean, make no mistake, her methodology in this article is fiercely rigorous. Today, we're going to use her framework to deconstruct how to stop, well, just bleeding money on fragmented, outdated marketing budgets.
Right, because that's what's happening.
Exactly. We're going to look at how to build an automated, unyielding lead engine that works while you sleep. And the premise here is that this engine has to achieve three seemingly impossible things all at once.
Ranking on traditional Google search, getting actively cited by conversational AI models, and most importantly, capturing actual paying revenue.
Yes. Okay, let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here is that to really appreciate the solution Ramos is proposing, we have to first dissect the trap that almost every mid-market and enterprise company is currently stuck in. She calls it the fragmentation problem. Ugh, I see this constantly. Companies treat their content like entirely separate departments that just refuse to speak to one another.
They absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Historically and unfortunately, even today in 2026, growth-focused companies divide their efforts into three isolated buckets.
The dreaded buckets.
Right. So in the first bucket, you have the classic SEO articles. Mm-hmm. You know, a marketing team or an agency churns out these massive generic blog posts targeting high volume keywords.
Right, right.
And sure, they might capture some top of funnel search traffic, mm-hmm. but because they're so broad and they lack any real purchasing intent, that traffic almost never converts into a signed contract.
You're basically fishing with a giant unbaited net. Like you catch a lot of seaweed, but no actual fish.
Exactly, just a bunch of useless metrics. Then you look at the second bucket, which is the dedicated landing pages.
Oh, the flashy ones.
Yeah, these are heavily designed, highly engineered pages built specifically for conversion. They've got the big buttons and the persuasive copywriting. Mm-hmm. But here's the fatal flaw. They generally rank terribly on search engines because they're thin on actual information, right?
Right. They're thin on informational depth. They really only work if you actively pay to drive traffic to them.
Which gets expensive.
Very. Yeah. And finally, you have the third bucket, which consists of thought leadership essays. These are usually those deep philosophical industry takes written by the founders or the C-suite.
Oh, I know these.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that gets a lot of polite applause on social media.
Yeah, people read them, readers might enjoy them, but they are notoriously terrible at generating sustainable search rank or, you know, directly attributable revenue. They just live in a vacuum.
You know, it's funny. Having these three separate content buckets is honestly like hiring a sales team where one person only smiles and shakes hands with the customer.
Right.
another person only recites the technical specifications from the manual, and a third person only asks for the credit card.
That is a perfect way to put it.
Right. If they aren't working together in the same body at the same time, it's just an incredibly awkward and inefficient experience for the buyer.
It really is. And how quietly this disjointed approach drains corporate resources is just wild. You have completely different teams utilizing entirely different sets of metrics, all pulling the single marketing budget in opposite directions.
Yeah.
But the urgency of Janice Ramos's article is that in the business environment of 2026, this fragmentation isn't just an inefficiency you can brush off anymore. It's fatal.
Because the environment we're publishing into has just completely mutated. Traditional click-through rates are slumping across the board.
Yeah, they are.
We have conversational AI engines like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Anthropic's Claude, and they're intercepting the buyer's journey. They natively answer a prospective buyer's complex prompts before that user ever has a reason to click a link to visit a company's actual website.
Right. The AI reads the web, digests the nuance, and then serves a synthesized verdict directly on the search results page. So, if your company's content is thin, or if it only serves a single isolated purpose, like those old school SEO articles, you've become a liability. The AI simply ignores you because you don't offer comprehensive value.
Yeah.
The goal isn't renting random web traffic anymore. It's owning a self-sustaining engine that brings in paying customers.
Let me push back on this, though, because I can just hear the frustration from business owners right now.
Oh, sure.
If AI is just going to scrape my website, steal my information, and natively answer the user's questions so they never even click my link, shouldn't businesses just throw their hands up? Like, why write anything at all? Why not just fire the content team, abandon written web content entirely, and dump the whole marketing budget into buying direct ads?
I mean, that is the knee-jerk reaction a lot of boards are having right now.
It makes sense on paper, right?
It does, but relying solely on ad networks is a massive vulnerability. You're essentially renting your company's growth from a landlord who raises the rent every single month.
Oh, this is a painful truth.
Right. The minute you turn off that ad budget, your lead flow drops to absolute zero. Ramos argues forcefully that you do not abandon content. You re-engineer it from the ground up. Okay. You transition your entire editorial roadmap into a triple goal content strategy. Every single URL you publish has to be architected to perform multiple jobs simultaneously.
Which brings us to the actual physical mechanics of the page. How do we actually build this? Ramos outlines a highly specific five-layer content architecture.
Yes.
We're talking about engineering every paragraph, every heading, to serve a distinct algorithmic or psychological trigger.
Let's walk the listener through this user journey, starting from the exact moment the page loads.
Okay, so layer one is what she calls the buyer problem opener. The cardinal rule here is to mercilessly cut those rambling, generic introductions.
Oh, please do.
We've all seen those articles.
Yeah.
You want to learn about enterprise accounting software, and the article starts with, since the dawn of commerce, human beings have needed to keep track of their numbers.
It's exhausting for a reader. It really is. And worse, it destroys your conversion rate within the first 3 seconds.
Totally. Her solution is to state the buyer's exact frustrating situation in the very first sentence. Like, you are losing 14 hours a week manually reconciling spreadsheets because your current software doesn't integrate with your CRM. Boom.
Boom. And this works on two distinct levels. From a psychological standpoint, it builds immediate empathy and recognition. The decision maker feels understood.
Right.
But mechanically, think about how search crawlers process text. They heavily weight the first 100 words of a page to determine context. By hitting the core problem immediately, you're signaling intense topical relevance to the algorithm.
So you aren't wasting the most valuable real estate on your page with fluff.
Exactly.
So you've hooked the human reader's pain point. But the algorithm still needs to extract the hard facts. How do we satisfy the bots without ruining the flow for the human? That brings us to layer two, which is the definitional answer box.
This is a big one.
Ramos is very specific here. You need to place a highly concise 40 to 60 word summary box, usually right around the second paragraph, that objectively answers the primary query of the page.
And this is where we start talking about catering specifically to AI. Modern conversational engines utilize a mechanism known as RAG loops. That's retrieval augmented generation.
I hear RAG loops mentioned constantly in tech circles, but let's break down how it actually interacts with a web page.
Sure. Think of a large language model not as a brain that knows things, but as a hyperfast synthesizer that fetches things.
Okay, fetching.
Right. When a buyer asks Gemini a question, the model doesn't just guess. It retrieves data from outside sources to ground its answer in reality. And to do this efficiently, the bots scan the web looking for structurally clean, objective text blocks.
So they don't want the fluff either.
No, they struggle with long, meandering paragraphs. By engineering a tight 40 to 60 word summary, you're formatting your expertise into the exact token size the AI prefers to extract. You are literally handing it the answer on a silver platter.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting and where I have a major point of skepticism.
Let's hear it.
If I'm a business owner and I am intentionally paying someone to engineer a bite-sized summary box, specifically so an AI bot can scrape it, summarize it, and show it to the user on a different platform, aren't I actively encouraging the human to never click my link?
I get that fear. I really do.
Aren't I basically saying, here's the quick answer, no known to visit my site or read the other four carefully crafted layers of my page?
That is the exact paradox terrifying marketing departments today. But you have to look past the immediate click. Ramos introduces this concept of preferred answer status.
Preferred answer status, okay.
Yes, the AI is serving the answer offsite, but it is prominently citing you as the source of truth. In the 2026 landscape, being the cited authority by an AI engine is the new equivalent of holding the number one organic ranking on Google.
Ah, so it's about establishing ultimate category authority over time rather than just begging for a single web visit today.
Exactly that. If an AI consistently tells a chief financial officer that your company is the definitive source for solving their complex integration problems, that CFO develops implicit trust in your brand.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. When they're finally ready to sign a six-figure contract, they are not going to search for a cheaper competitor they've never heard of. They're going directly to the authority the AI has been validating for months.
That completely reframes the whole strategy. It's a longer play, which perfectly aligns with the fantastic analogy from the source material.
Oh, the orchard one.
Yes. Ramos writes, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
I love that visualization. You're planting seeds for long-term compounding authority. But for those trees to actually bear fruit, the AI needs a reason to trust you in the first place.
Right.
Which brings us to the third layer of the page. The deep information gain body.
This is where you earn the traditional Google rankings and prove you aren't just a shallow summary bot yourself.
Yes.
The source makes it crystal clear. You cannot just rephrase what your competitors are already saying. You have to introduce fresh insights, proprietary data, hard ROI metrics from actual client case studies, step-by-step methodologies that just don't exist anywhere else on the internet.
Because the search algorithms have evolved dramatically in how they detect what we call copycat content.
Thank goodness for that.
Right. In the past, if you just scraped the top three results on Google, spun the words around, and made the article a little longer, you can rank.
The dark ages.
Truly. But today, algorithms measure information gain. They analyze the entities and concepts on your page. If you're only discussing the exact same concepts as everyone else, your information gain score is zero.
Why would the algorithm promote you?
Exactly. You have to bring genuinely additive data to the conversation.
So let's look at the journey so far. We've hooked the buyer with a hyper-specific problem opener. We've fed the AI with our structured answer box. We've proven our deep, undeniable expertise with proprietary data in the body. The buyer is reading. They're interested. But human nature dictates they are also naturally hesitant. This brings us to layer four, the pre-CTA objection handler.
This is honestly a masterclass in conversion protection. Before you ever place a button asking the reader to book a meeting or start a free trial, you have to proactively address the silent anxieties in their head.
The things they're secretly worrying about but just won't email you to ask.
Precisely. A serious buyer is reading your page thinking, okay, this sounds great, but what is the implementation timeline? Is this going to take 6 months? And what is the baseline budget entry point? Can I even afford this?
Yeah, if you hide your pricing or your timelines behind a sales call, a cautious buyer will simply close the tab rather than risk wasting their time.
They absolutely will. By putting transparent budget thresholds and realistic timelines right out in the open, you put the buyer at ease. You actually qualify the lead before they ever even hit your CRM.
Which sets up the perfect psychological transition to the final layer. Layer five, the low friction next step. We are finally at the point of capturing the revenue.
Finally.
The mandate here is to close with a single hyper-focused action. Do not use generic links like learn more or contact us. Be specific. Tell them exactly what happens next. Like, schedule a 20-minute audit session.
You have to guide them across the finish line. If you leave the next step ambiguous, the cognitive load is too high and you just lose them.
There is a quote from Ramos here that perfectly captures the danger of fumbling this final step. She notes, "Many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in."
Ouch. It is painfully accurate, though. You spend thousands of dollars to drive high-intent traffic, you prove your authority, you soothe their objections, and then you lose the deal at the absolute last second.
Just because your call to action is a generic form asking for, like, 15 fields of personal information.
Right. It's tragic.
So we have this beautifully structured psychological journey on the page. Yeah. The five layers are set. We know how to talk to the human, and we know how to format the text for the bot. But yeah, Ramos makes a major pivot in the article right here. A beautifully written page means absolutely nothing if the search bots can't categorize it properly under the hood, or if the business cannot mathematically prove that the page actually generated pipeline revenue.
Yeah, we have to step away from the editorial strategy now and dig into the technical underbelly.
Yes, let's do it.
The triple goal strategy isn't just about compelling copywriting. It is fundamentally about data architecture. Ramos breaks down three actionable, system-driven steps to really upgrade your content pipeline.
Step one is embedding machine-readable schema markup, specifically wrapping your articles and service pages in valid JSON-LD code. And I know to a lot of people, that sounds like an intimidating foreign language.
It sounds incredibly dense, I know. But it's really just a way of structuring your data behind the scenes to guarantee that search bots parse your business capabilities accurately.
You know, the best way I've heard schema markup described is like putting a Dewey Decimal code directly on your article.
Oh, that's good.
Right. Instead of forcing the AI to speed read your entire 2,000-word page to guess what industry you're in or what your primary service is, you're handing it a perfectly formatted machine-readable index card.
Yes.
That code explicitly says, "We are a B2B software company. Our primary product is X, and this article is a tutorial."
That analogy is spot on. You're entirely removing the guesswork for the machine. And once the machine understands you, step two moves from machine-proof to human-proof. Injecting first-party proof points.
Ramos insists we have to audit our content and ruthlessly replace abstract claims with exact verified numbers. You can no longer get away with saying, "We help you grow fast."
No, not at all.
You have to say, "We decrease client onboarding time by 14 days and reduce churn by 22%.
High-intent buyers in 2026 are incredibly skeptical. They have been burned by agency fluff and empty promises before.
Haven't we all?
Right. They're looking for undeniable mathematical proof of performance before they will ever book that consultation. Your own internal first-party data is your strongest currency.
Which brings us to the third technical step, and arguably the most vital one for the person actually signing the marketing checks. Deploying server-side attribution.
Yes.
Often referred to as OCI, or offline conversion tracking.
This is the linchpin. This is where the entire triple goal system ties back to actual financial reality. For years, standard web tracking relied on client-side cookies or tracking pixels placed on the user's browser.
Right, and we constantly hear about the death of cookies, like ad blockers stop them, iOS updates block them, or bots just click your links and totally distort the data.
Exactly. Client-side tracking is broken. Server-side OCI bypasses the browser entirely. It connects your web assets directly to your back-end CRM like Salesforce or HubSpot.
Okay, so how does that work in practice?
When a deal finally closes in your CRM, your secure server sends a signal directly to Google or LinkedIn server saying, "Hey, that person who read our article 3 months ago just spent $50,000 with us."
Oh, wow. So instead of the marketing team sliding a 50-page PDF deck across the boardroom table full of abstract vanity metrics saying, "Look, we got 1 million impressions and 10,000 clicks this month," they can show real, undeniable business impact.
Because impressions do not pay the payroll.
No, they don't.
The new triple goal reporting standard is a remarkably simple dashboard. It literally just says, "I spent X dollars this month on content generation, and our CRM systems verified that it returned Y dollars in close won revenue."
That is the dream.
It provides absolute financial transparency. Ramos actually has a brilliant line about this in the text. She says, "Attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room."
That is hilarious. And so true.
It's funny because it has been the reality for a decade. Marketing attribution has been a complete guessing game. Server-side tracking finally turns the lights on in that room. Mm. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this level of deep technical implementation highlights a critical reality for modern business leaders, which is what?
Active CEOs should not be playing copywriter.
Preach.
Nor should they be playing web developer. Managing server logs, deploying custom JSON-LD schema architectures, maintaining site hierarchies. These are incredibly specialized, time-consuming tasks.
Absolutely.
A CEO needs an internal growth team or a trusted external technical backbone to handle this infrastructure. The CEO needs to be focused on leading the vision of the company and closing those major deals, not worrying about the latest algorithmic update to RAG parsing limits.
So what does this all mean? Like, if we pull all these threads together, committing to a systematic triple goal content strategy means an organization fundamentally changes its relationship with the internet.
Yes, it really does.
You stop renting temporary traffic loops through uncalibrated ad networks. You stop wasting money on fragmented buckets of content that refuse to talk to each other.
Right.
Instead, you build an unyielding corporate growth engine. You use deep psychological authority and rigorous technical systems to completely eliminate waste.
That is the absolute essence of it. And for you listening, whether you're a CEO trying to scale a global enterprise or a solo entrepreneur building your very first real pipeline, the core math of business scale remains completely constant.
Yeah.
You have to repair your tracking gaps. You have to locate your conversion bottlenecks in those five layers. You must connect your marketing investments directly to your gross profit margins. If a piece of content isn't structured to rank, to get cited by AI, and to convert, it is simply taking up space on your server.
It's just a massive paradigm shift from the old days of just blogging for SEO.
Right.
It's highly engineered architecture now.
It certainly is. But this raises an important question, something we really need to think about as this technology continues to accelerate.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time today talking about engineering that 40-word definitional answer box so that AI models can extract it through ARG loops.
Right. Feeding the bots to earn that preferred answer status we talked about.
But if AI engines continue to evolve at this pace, and they get even better and more autonomous at synthesizing complex information, what happens to the rest of the page?
Oh.
What happens to that deep information gain body we spent so much time crafting?
Oh, wow. I see where you're going with this.
In the future, will human buyers ever actually scroll down to layer 5 to convert themselves?
Right.
Or will conversational AI eventually become so trusted and so deeply integrated into enterprise operations that an AI agent just evaluates your proprietary metrics, cross-references your transparent pricing, and books the 20-minute audit session on the buyer's behalf?
That is a wild thought. You'd literally be optimizing layer 5, not for human psychology, but to convince an AI executive assistant to pull the trigger on a purchase.
Exactly.
We might be moving rapidly from business to business sales to AI to AI sales.
It is the next frontier of search intent, and it might be here a lot sooner than we think.
Well, that is certainly something to chew on as you look at your own website's analytics this week. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. As always, keep questioning the information around you and never stop learning. We'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.